You guys could be seated this morning. Young people, I'm going to ask you just to stay in service today. I just feel like the Lord's going to have us together sort of begin to process as a family what has taken place all over our world and our nation, specifically the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. And this pastor has been obviously not just praying for the Kirk family, praying for our nation, but I've been praying for the congregation that I'm called to serve and love. And I want to give you just some observations on individually how we're going to process this together as a family. If you're new here this morning, we say a big warm welcome to you. We're thankful that you're here today. This is just going to be a big family talk today. I had, man, a wonderful sermon planned and prepared, but I'm feeling just over the last several days that we're going to begin to process this just incredible martyrdom together. Is that okay? If you're joining online, we say a big warm welcome to you. We're thankful that you're here. I know that we're joining the larger body of Christ all over this nation and all over the world that really has seen, when you think about it, the first live and in-person 4K tragic martyrdom that the world has ever seen. And I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about the things that my family has been going through, not because this has anything to do with us, but I do believe that it can be a catapult for you guys to have some really, really deep conversations with your own self and with your own family and your own circle of friends and influence. But before I do, I just want to ask a couple questions, and they're going to be a little bit deeper and probing questions. How many in this room actually saw the footage of the martyrdom actually take place? Would you raise your hand? Okay. How many watched it more than once? How many watched it more than five times? How many went down the rabbit hole and watched it 10 or 15 times? The reason why I ask this question is because, first and foremost, you have to know that your body, the secular term that will be used, and we're going to change the secular term this morning to a biblical term, but when you watch things like that, it is a traumatic event. And your brain is not wired to handle those kinds of traumatic events. And to in layman's term, and I'm a pastor, I'm not a counselor, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not even somebody that even understands fully what happens with our brain and when we go through trauma, but I do know, in the little bit of studying that I do know, is that there are some crazy things that happens, and you'll start hearing words like you'll fight or flee. How many's ever heard those kinds of words? In layman's terms, it's like if your brain is a house and the smoke alarm begins to go off and there's warning signs, everybody runs out of the house and no one is able to actually regulate the temperature thermostat in the room of your emotions. And so you get really angry, you get really upset, you get really sad. And the wisdom person that is supposed to run the house is gone and your body is just left in shock. And so I believe one of the observations that I wanted to make this morning before we dive into the main details is I want you guys to know that our nation and our world is going to have a severe case of suffering that we're going to have to deal with. Our suffering is nowhere near the suffering that the Kirk family is going to have to deal with, the people and friends and family are around them. But what was usually reserved in our country for men in war, women in combat, people on the front lines, seeing loved ones pass away in person, really has been spread largely to the body of Christ. And that will cause a lot of different kinds of emotions to come up. My son, who's not the most, my oldest son, who's not the most cuddly or touchy guy, he's been weeping all week. And he'll come into my bedroom early in the morning, even before I'm waking up, and he'll just wrap his arms around me and cry. Those are all normal things that happen when you guys go through incredibly traumatic events. And so I just want you guys to know you're not alone. All of us are trying to find the words to process. And then we're going to look to Scripture today in three different cases on when the church faced persecution and martyrdom. A, what did Jesus do? And what did the early church in the book of Acts do? Is that okay? We're gonna do that. And then we're going to do what the church and the Bible teaches us to do is they fervently prayed. We're going to pray for the Kirk family. We're going to pray for this nation. We're going to pray for those that are the enemies of the gospel. And you've heard me say 1,000 times, we do not have enemies, we have mission fields. And so we're going to have this radical kind of concept today that, yes, we do have enemies, but those enemies become our mission fields. And we're going to have some raw talk, and we're going to pray together and process together as a family. And so I just have some opening comments, and then we'll get to it. But Holy Spirit, would you help? Would you help this pastor as I lead our congregation to not really even a place of understanding, because this one's hard to understand. But I ask that your Holy Spirit would be here, that would comfort and guide as we walk through this and as we prepare to pray for the Kirk family and all of those that are just directly affected, and also pray for our nation. Father, the hope of this nation is not found in a political arena. It's not found in something that man can create. The hope of this nation is found in you. And so, Lord, we pray that we would return, as Charlie so eloquently preached and communicated, that we would return to the foundation of our lives being you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, our nation over the last several decades has been steeping in a boiling pot that appears to be racing towards its own destruction. The destruction is not coming from an enemy behind the lines, but rather an enemy within the lines. This enemy that we face has an ideology that is anti-God. When you read scripture, the Bible talks about in the last days, and we are in the last days, that there would become an antichrist spirit or an anti-God spirit that would become prevalent in the world before Jesus came back. It's really anti anything that God stands for. And that spirit seeks to divide, and its goal is division. Charlie Kirk wasn't the only horrific thing that happened this week. There was another school shooting last month, coupled with a shooting of a state senator from Minnesota. It really seems like our world is unraveling in all corners. We do recognize that Christians have enemies, or the Bible wouldn't say pray for those enemies. But in the end, they truly are our mission fields. We are directed to pray for those people that persecute us. First and foremost, I want to tell you it is a privilege to lay down our life for the sake of the gospel. And if my fate or your fate was that of Charlie, what a privilege it is to lay down our life for the sake of the gospel. But make no mistake, laying down doesn't mean standing down. There is a cultural war being waged in the battles of ideology. You do recognize this morning that everything is theology. And that theology really comes from ideology. Everyone, whether they want to admit it or not, is following some form of theological ideology, the rules that you live your life by. Everyone has a philosophy of religion. Every individual has some guiding principles that determine how and why they live. Even to not have any principles is to have a principle. Up until recently, our nation has largely agreed that the basis of our civilization will be founded upon the principles of the Word of God. We definitely haven't been perfect, but we've been in process. Then somewhere recently, I can't really pinpoint it, it probably just wasn't one decision or one choice, the decay began to start. The drift became a decision. Racial tension, segregation, schools teaching anti-God propaganda, millions of babies being aborted, prayer out of school, Ten Commandments being removed from public places, marriage laws being changed as though government was the creator of marriage when God was. Men began to run from their responsibility to be active and participating husbands and fathers and community members in the church. Women bought the lie through feminism that men are evil and not needed. Kids without a dad and mom are left to fend for themselves and be raised by demonic forces. And somewhere along the line, a nation drifted away from God's ideas to its own ideas. Directly, this ideological war pretends to mask itself with terms like Republican versus Democrat, liberal versus conservative, black or white, us versus them, when truly it's a simple battle. It's a simple battle between will a nation repent and come underneath the lordship of Jesus? Will they choose him or will they not choose him? It's a battle between good and evil. And that fight doesn't just extend into one subset. It's not just Republican versus Democrat. It's become church versus church, old versus young, hymns versus anthems, exegesis versus topical sermon, liturgical versus contemporary, believer versus believer, child of God versus child of God, suit versus casual. And really what you have to know, that the spirit that is running our world today is seeking to destruct everything that resembles God. Marriage is destroyed, kids indoctrinated, churches eviscerated, communities embattled. Just even in our own community, I have people praying for the destruction of the local government and praying for the government to stand the way that it is, the elected officials to remain, the elected officials to go. Our community is no different than what we're seeing nationwide. Abraham Lincoln, while fighting for civil rights to free the slaves, referenced the scripture found in Mark 3:25. A house divided against itself shall not stand. In another speech, he opined that if a nation were to be destroyed, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. Then there has been some glimmers of hope over the last decade or so. One of those glimmers of hope was a man by the name of Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was a fellow believer, a child of God, really the first American Christian martyr. In the 60s, we had JFK, 64, and 68, we had Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy. But there's something that is ringing different in our culture about this specific one. This really young adult pastor to the nation going into the front lines of a demonic ideology and telling people to repent and give their heart to Jesus. And I just want to pause here and say that Charlie was a lot like all of us. He was in process. No one agrees with 100% of what any other one person says except for Jesus. To be real, I don't agree with 100% of what I say comes out of my mouth. This moment is not about that. This moment is about a turning point for our country. He was a husband, he was a father, he was a freedom fighter, using his voice to amplify the gospel, the founding fathers' faith, and the intention of our Constitution of being one nation under God. He was martyred for that. Old-fashioned, Bible-believing values. Ephesians tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are not the problem. The problem is the demonic ideology that is blinding people from the truth found in Jesus. Demonic forces this morning, you have to know, are real and powerful. And you combat those forces by surrendering your way of life to Jesus, because his power is greater than any power in the entire world. Acts tells us of what happens with Stephen in Acts chapter 7, the first Christian martyr, and James, the second Christian martyr in Acts chapter 12, were killed. Matter of fact, Jesus gave us some interesting practical guidelines on how we're supposed to respond. Many of us don't actually understand that it was Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, who was martyred, and Jesus himself actually had to follow a set of principles for him to be walking out of that, so that he didn't get mad or angry or too upset with the mission field or the people that he was called to lay down his life for. But the Bible says something interesting happened when Stephen and James were killed. The Bible says that the church, listen to me, they didn't post, they didn't seek retribution, they didn't seek necessarily answers. The Bible says that the church fervently prayed. The Bible says supernatural things begin to happen. Peter, while in prison, gets awakened by an angel. You can read about it in Acts chapter 12. Gets awakened by an angel. The angel pushes him in his side before Herod could get him and is supernaturally delivered. We all know the story of Stephen, the first martyr. Standing in the area of his stoning was a man named Saul, a persecutor of Christians. Could you imagine the radical forgiveness that must have been present, that the order giver for persecution that ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament was actually a persecutor and actually caused martyrdom, but he had a supernatural encounter? I'm going to be really honest as your pastor. I'm not there quite yet. That young man that took Charlie's life, there's parts of me that just want him to come to justice and to get what's really owed to him. Is that vulnerable and that okay? But there was something present in the early church that I look at and I go, I don't think that we're there yet. When the people that caused the harm, God supernaturally caused those group of people to be the forerunners for the gospel and the cause of Jesus. Can you imagine the radical forgiveness that must have been present? Forgiveness, though, in the American church has become very limp-wristed and weak-kneed. Again, laying down our lives for the gospel doesn't mean that we have to stand down from our values and beliefs. Let me tell you what I'm praying for in this season. I'm praying for Saul to Paul moments to happen. I'm praying for every demonic force that has captured young people and adults in this country in the transgender ideology. I am praying for those demonic forces to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that that woke ideology that has tried to change what marriage is, has tried to infiltrate our children to living something outside the identity that's found in Jesus, I pray that those demonic forces are broken in Jesus' name. Do you realize that you cannot negotiate or compromise with demonic forces? The Bible tells us that we have the authority to cast them out. We're going to pray this morning for Erica and her children. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray that God would awaken this world with signs, wonders, and miracles to return this nation to become the fathers, mothers, kids, and people we are called to be. And Charlie, this morning we pray that your boldness would become our boldness. Part of that process is recognizing where our hope comes from. Suffering or the trauma of what many of you have walked through needs to be dealt with so healing can take root. Matthew 14 tells us and gives us some interesting parallels about what Jesus did when his cousin John the Baptist was martyred. And I want you to lean in with me here for the next few moments. The Bible says that he just got news of John the Baptist, his head being chopped off, his arms and his legs be sent to the four corners of the city and community that it was in. And the Bible says that Jesus withdrew. And something interesting happened when he withdrew. 5,000 or so people followed him. Do you know the miracle of the 5,000 people being fed was actually a crowd in mourning because of what had just happened? And isn't it interesting that we view that miracle as a miracle of God sustaining just normal people when really it was God sustaining people who were mourning? Jesus modeled that when you're feeling the way that you need to do, you probably need to withdraw with some close friends that love Jesus, that love God, that are going to be people of his presence. Because when you get in his presence, that's where healing truly begins. The Bible says in Romans that it's in the renewing of our mind. And when a nation goes through a traumatic event like this, if we keep reviewing or reusing the trauma in our mind, there's no healing there. But healing comes when we cast all of our anxieties to him and he begins to care and heal for us. When you go through that, and if you don't run towards Jesus, things begin to be perverted and twisted. And so Jesus teaches us, even through his own life, that when he battled feelings that were probably causing him great anguish, he withdrew. And so this pastor is going to give you a couple bits of advice today. Would you go home over the next few days and turn the television off? The social media that you've been on, would you just turn it off for a little while? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be up to date about what's happening in our culture and our world, but there's something about just taking a pause and withdrawing and finding yourself at a place of prayer. And finding yourself next to people who have the same kinds of beliefs in the power of God's presence in your life. It's not isolation that God's after. It's community that withdraws and begins to pray. It's the reason why we're here today. It's because we're going to pray with each other and for each other in the next coming moments. The second thing that we really need to do is we need to address the Sodom and Gomorrah spirit that needs to be torn down in our world. I sat my boys down this week as I was praying specifically for them on how I was going to lead them through this. And I want to be very careful because I know I got young ears in this room, and I don't want to usurp the authority that moms and dads have with leading their own children. But the best way, I'm going to say it once, then I'm going to use Sodom and Gomorrah culture the rest of the way. But there is a porn culture that is destroying our young people. This Sodom and Gomorrah spirit that has really spent the last 15 years with kids locked in the bedroom on their screens, watching females in scantily clad clothing, much worse than that. It has taught our young ladies that their worth comes in how they attract males, and it's taught males that it's their worth of how they attract females, when we know that our worth is not found in that, our worth is found in Him. And what it's done, the Bible talks specifically about sexual immorality ruining a culture. The Bible says that some sins that you commit are committed against your body. We just talked about trauma, how trauma deals with your body and your brain. When you walk in a sexually immoral and impure culture, it rewires the morality that you walk in. So I want to just pause here. Every man that's in this room that may be struggling with silent addiction, now is the time to lay that at the foot of the cross. Every female that has literally tried to find their worth in attracting, listen, I understand the need to be wanted. We're all human. But you're not going to find what you're looking for in a relationship that's here. You're going to find your worth in a relationship that's found this way. And this culture, just listen to me. This culture where you go from the identity of Christ, it's not just transgenderism. The Bible says that sex or intimacy is for those that are found in marriage. It's supposed to be a husband and a wife in marriage that get to enjoy that. But our culture has perverted that. Our culture has said that you can do it before you're married. You can do it after you get divorced. You can do it with multiple partners. And pretty soon that lust is not satisfied with just doing it with what you've been doing it. That sin gets so out of control and it perverts a generation and a nation to where you begin to see more obscene things begin to happen and happen. I want you to listen to me all across this room. If you think it's bad now, if you think sexual immorality stops at just transgenderism, it's going to get much worse unless a nation repents from that Sodom and Gomorrah spirit that it's under. Once you listen to the warning of this pastor, it's going to get much worse unless the church stands up and learns how to live holy once again. Practically speaking, young people that are in this room, be careful what these eyes see. Be careful what these ears hear. Be careful what you allow in the gory graphic movies that you watch, the horror movies that bring a demonic presence in your room, the secular music. There's really no such thing as secular music, because whatever music you're listening to is actually worshiping something or someone. You hear this, Pastor? You better be careful what you subject your soul to, because it's perverting the morality that our life is supposed to be based upon as Christians and believers. And if that offends you, I would rather offend you telling you the truth than just coming up here and playing as though that our culture has a complicit problem where we're scared of telling the truth. If you're struggling with same-sex attraction, if you're struggling with your identity of not being in the body that God's created you, we're not mad at you. We don't hate you. It's actually the reason why I'm standing up here and echoing a lot of Charlie Kirk's words, is that we believe that there's a God that can set wrong things right. He's a God that does miracles. That's what we believe. It's the culture that seeks to divide this Sodom and Gomorrah spirit. Listen to me. That will tell you that church attendance one time or two times a month is okay. It's not okay. This culture around us that will that eases us into compromise, and it creates a climate where demonic forces are allowed to rule and reign in our nation. And they're allowed to rule in our nation, listen to me, because they're allowed to rule in our homes. And the reason why they're allowed to rule in our homes is because they've been running prevalent in our churches. Last week, it was almost a prophetic word when I talked about we do not need a shallow in Christianity in our culture. There's a call to deep in Christian living. And part of that is learning what you say yes to and also what you say no to. Let me close with this, and then we're gonna do what the Word of God teaches, and we're gonna pray together. We're gonna pray for Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, their two children. I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. We're gonna pray for our nation. We're gonna pray for our homes. We're gonna pray for this community. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, because this is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, what is pleasing, and what is the perfect will of God. This mind of ours, won't you listen to me? This mind of ours needs renewing if we're going to see a revival in this nation. Verse number 9 in chapter 12, let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters, taking the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Verse number 12, rejoice in hope. You ready for this? Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourself. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me, and I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for in doing so, you will heap fiery coals on his head. And do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And that's what we're going to do today. Would you stand all across this room together as one big family? Musicians, you don't have to come up quite just yet. But we're going to do something together as a church family that's radical. We're going to do what the Word of God tells us to do in seasons and situations like this. We're going to pray fervently. We're going to pray first and foremost for Charlie Kirk's wife and her and their two children and those that have been closely affected with this. And I'm not going to pray behind this microphone. The Bible says that the church prayed. It wasn't just the pastor that prayed. It was the church that prayed. And so I don't know how uncomfortable you guys are. If you're an introvert, I'm not going to ask you to walk outside of your person and do something that's completely uncomfortable with you. I've actually asked our leadership team. We had about 50 or 75 of us that met early this morning. They're going to find the pockets of people that might not know how to pray out loud. And you're not going to have to pray out loud. But I'm going to ask you to do something bold, which is maybe get in groups of 8 or 10 of us in each section and maybe have one bold person out of there lead a prayer for Charlie Kirk's wife and children. Let me put you this way. If Charlie Kirk can be bold for young people all over this nation, can we at least be bold in our prayers for his family? So find about 8 or 10 people around you, and the bold person can just begin to pray, and then I'm going to pray corporately after that. But let's spend a few moments in prayer. I'm going to ask our kids pastor's wife, Kayla. Kayla, if you can hear me really quick, there's a microphone that Chase has for you right here. Would you pray corporately for the family right now for us? You can just pray right where you're at.
Would wrap around them, Jesus. God, as his children, find out what took place this week. God, I pray that your love would flood that room. Would they know that their dad accomplished his mission here on earth and that they would be able to be proud of him? God, would you give them peace? God, we thank you for what you're already doing in our community, in our country, in this world, because of what happened this week. God, we do pray for revival. We pray that it would continue, that it would not stop at what has already happened this week, but that it would continue to move forward. God, I pray for us collectively as a body here at Parkway, God, that you would cause us to rise up this week. God, would you help us to stand in boldness and stand in courage and stand in faith? God, would you open our eyes to the hurting and broken and lost people in our community? God, and would you cause us to stand up for what you are? God, you're good, you're true, you're perfect. God, would you help us to accomplish your will here, God, with what's in front of us? And we don't have to have a huge platform to accomplish what you have set us on this earth to do. God, so I pray that you would cause all of us individually to stand up for your truth, Lord. God, would you give us divine appointments this week? God, in our workplace, in our schools, in the grocery store, whoever we come in contact with, God, I pray that our eyes would be on you, that our hearts would be ready, that our ears would be open to hear your Holy Spirit, God, and that we would have the boldness to step out in faith to accomplish our mission here on earth. God, so that when our time comes, we too can hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Chase, you're going to go run and grab that microphone and give it to Stacy. Would you guys just spend just a few moments praying for our nation, praying that God would begin to heal the wounds of division, that whatever the catalyst needs to be, if it was Charlie, if it's the destruction of the many mass school shootings, state senator in Minnesota, this world is unraveling, our nation is unraveling, and Lord, we just ask for your wisdom on what it's gonna take, this revival that's gonna need to happen where people turn back to you. You're the hope, and that's what we declare in this room. So all across this room, would you just begin whatever words, maybe another person in your group, just begin to pray for our nation, pray for our country, pray specifically for this state, specifically for this town, that you would give our elected officials the wisdom. Lord, would you meet our governor right now and in a divine moment? We believe you've done it for Saul, and you turned Saul into Paul. There's no reason why you can't begin to work on the heart of our governor. Work on the hearts of our elected officials. Would someone in your guys' group just begin to lead a prayer? Stacy, would you lead us corporately? Just in a prayer for our nation.
Father God, I pray for our nation today, God. God, that our heart breaks for what breaks yours, God. That our eyes are open to see. That this doesn't become a detriment, Father God, but it propels us to continue to pray for our children, our families, our community, our nation. That we become a nation, God, that our eyes see what you see. In our ears, hear what you hear, Lord. In our heart, hears what you hear, God. God, I pray that our nation breaks for a heart just like you do, Father God. And I pray that Charlie's incident, God, propels us and propels our nation to do what's right, God. That we stand on the word of God and we stand on the truth. God, I pray for each and every one, each and every official, God, that can put their hand to change in our nation, Father God, that you will guide them and lead them and give them the word and the wisdom, God, that we know. And we will stand on the word of God and the truth that you've given us, Father God. We pray for our nations and our officials and everyone across the world, God, that this will be an opening and awakening, God, that will be for your glory and for more souls into the kingdom, Father God. More souls for you, God. More souls, Jesus, for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Lord, you've instructed us now to pray for those that persecute us. And as my sister-in-law Stacy was praying for our nation, wouldn't it be fitting that if you had an assignment where the revival started in the people group that perpetrated the martyrdom? And so, Lord, we pray for every person in our nation that is struggling with their sexual identity, and we rebuke the demonic forces that are trying to capture this nation in Jesus' name. And Father, we declare and ask with faith that revival would happen in that people group, that sons and daughters would come home to their rightful identity, that an uprising, a revival would happen in the very arena that perpetrated the martyrdom. And so, Lord, we ask for revival across college campuses in this nation. We ask, God, that Discord chats would be filled not with hate and vile, but testimonies of young adults turning their heart to Jesus. We ask, God, for something so incredibly powerful and outlandish that we know if it only happens, it's because of you. That revival would turn to the darkest corners of our nation. And Father, let it start there, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray for the families of the person who perpetrated this, Father. We pray that radical salvation would come to them through Jesus Christ alone. Father, we pray for these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen. My wife is going to lead us in that song just one more time. And then I just feel like we're going to join Charlie today just one last time in singing heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy. Brooke, would you lead us?
All thrones and dominions are
You might be here this morning and you have yet to make a personal, public declaration, a decision that you're going to be a follower of Jesus. You're going to accept Him as not just your Savior, but your Lord. Amen. We want to celebrate with you if you're ready to make that decision and declaration. If you've yet to make that and you're ready to make that decision today, with everyone's eyes opened and everyone looking around, if that's you, would you stretch up your hands so I could see you? Say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Well, welcome to the family of God. Let's pray for our sister. Father, we thank you for the moving of what you're doing in her life. So, Father, we thank you that this decision, we recognize that it's not by chance or coincidence that it was today. Father, that she's saying yes to you, your will, your way. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen and amen. They're going to continue to minister to her, pray with her. Kelly Wiltrout wasn't here, able to be with us last week, which I think was probably fitting for the word that the Lord really gave her, because she didn't really hear what was spoken last Sunday. It was almost confirmation. And so just right where you're at, just share the word the Lord gave to the church and sort of the marching orders for us moving forward. Yeah. That was our bad. We turned the microphone off. It wasn't your fault. All right, go ahead.
Wednesday evening, when we gathered together as a church, we were singing, and the Lord said something really specific to me, and I've been chewing on it and praying on it all week. And the word that the Lord said is, what I wake, I shake. And Matthew 27, 41, and a few verses after that, it says that when Jesus shouted, he was on the cross, and it says he shouted and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. And I felt like what the Lord said is that what God wants to do in his church is he wants to wake us up. When Jesus died, he shouted out, and the Bible says he released his spirit. And that's what God's doing. He's releasing his spirit. And when that happened, the veil in the temple tore from top to bottom. And the veil of the temple represented the presence of God, because only the priests had access to the presence of God. But when that veil tore, God released his spirit, and he gave us access to the presence of God and into the Holy of Holies. And it says the rocks shook and things broke. There was an earthquake that happened. And God wants to awaken the church. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, he'll heal our land. And it's that simple. We don't have to beg him to be good. We don't have to beg him to pour his spirit out. He's begging us to submit to him and to submit to his will and to allow us to be woken up. Every person in this room needs to be woken up in one way or another. And we need God to shake us at our core. And God shakes us. We need to want to be shaken. There can't be that thing in you and I that says, I want you to shake me, kinda. I want to be awakened, but I don't want to be shaken. We have to want to be desperate to be awakened, however God sees fit in each one of our lives. And we have to be willing to be shaken to our very core. And that's what God wants. He wants to rend the heavens so that his spirit is poured out, so that we see him for who he really is. So that what happens is that we're changed because of the presence of God. That we're made into the likeness and the image of God. God's tired of a church where he's made into our likeness and our image. He wants us to be shaken. He wants our eyes to be open. His eyes don't need to be open. They're already open. We need our eyes to be open, and we're the ones that need to be shaken.
So Lord, let it start with me. Father, I give you permission in my home, in my family, the people that I lead. That word is not for someone else first. That word is for me. God, shake me. God, forgive me. I repent. I don't want to lead a shallow in kind of church that creates not just followers, but Lord, we want to be disciples of yours. We don't just want to have authority on Sunday and not on Monday. Lord, just like you woke up Peter, would you wake us up? Pray this in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Sometimes we just rush, and I don't want to rush this morning. renewing of our mind. Pastor, how do I renew my mind? You get in God's presence. You get in God's word. Line upon line, precept upon precept. If you're struggling with the suffering that you've seen, just get in God's presence. Romans chapter 12, those verses that I gave you, just it begins to rewrite the things that your brain is telling you to fight against. It's giving you the ability to fight the way that the Lord wants us to fight, with clarity and boldness of purpose. Lord, would you shake it? Shake this church. Shake my family. Shake my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say these things in Jesus' name. And everybody says, be seated just for a moment. Pastor St. John's going to come give us some final marching orders, some announcements, some ways for you to give, and then he's going to pray us out this morning.
Fully endorse what Pastor Jason said. Turn the cell phone off, turn the media off. Open your Bible and look for the words. I figure you've got the best counselor the world can offer, right, available to you, the King of Kings, amen? Hallelujah. Hey, I'm going to share with you some of the announcements that we have, but I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come forward as well. We're going to get ready to receive a tithes and offerings this morning, which would be great. They've been standing by the whole service, but they are still with us, which is good on there. Let's pray over our offering. Father, we ask that you will take this offering and do an amazing thing with it, Lord God, as only you can. We ask that, Lord, you would see this as our way of saying thank you. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for your hand of provision and your generosity, Lord God, to our households, each and individually. We now trust this to you, Lord God, and we give you praise and glory and bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, we want to remind you as well to stay connected with us. Fill out connect cards if you need to update information. Also, if you have anything, you need a prayer request or anything, you'll find those are actually located in the seats in front of you there. And turn them in with the offering or drop them in the box out in the lobby on your way out. That would be great. I want to let you know about an event we have coming up as well. And that is women. The ladies are inviting you to come to an event, Soren Backer. And this is going to be an encounter event. It's going to take place on September 26th. That's a Friday evening, 6:30 p.m. in our fellowship hall. We ask that you would go to parkwaycc.com/women to find out more information about that event that's taking place. Also, 1 week from today, we will be doing our end of summer picnic celebration. All you need to do is grab yourself some type of food, a picnic lunch or something like that, your blanket, your chairs, and meet us at Tom Pierce Park. And it is $5 to park there, so don't forget to do that as well. And we're going to have a great time together with family as we gather. And that's going to be held at 5 p.m. 1 week from today at Tom Pierce Park. Also, today, after service, those of you who want to know more about or want to hear about the launching of Royal Family Kids Camp that has been on a short hiatus, it is re-engaging. They're firing the engines back up. We want to invite everybody who has an interest. Now, this does not mean if you have to go to camp. No, there's a bunch of ways you can support this ministry as well. Please come to the awareness lunch in the fellowship hall right after this service, as soon as it's dismissed, and that's being held, and we'd love to share more with you about this vital ministry. Now, one of the most important things that I love to see is the transformation of people's lives. I love to see when someone gives their heart to the Lord, and then you watch them over a year, you watch their walk, how it changes. You watch how their faith is broadened, and you watch how their words speak true. And that's transformation. There is a ministry that meets here every Thursday that takes place in a world of transformation, and that is called Celebrate Recovery. You want to meet some amazing people who have been through the rough side of life and have come out loving God. It is my pleasure to introduce to you two of those people as well. And then I'm going to make Misty come up with him. Misty, come up with your husband, Bobby.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you. So yes, we do celebrate recovery here every Thursday at 6 p.m. But me and my wife both have the opportunity to walk side by side around this whole facility during the week and take care of the facility, changing light bulbs, cleaning carpets, setting up for events. And so during that time, I've gotten to know some office ladies very, very well. And so what you guys don't know is you've heard Kylie say many times that we've got the best middle schoolers ever, right? And obviously with Pastor Jay and Pastor Seth and Pastor Chase and Pastor St. John, you guys know we have the best pastors ever. But we have this little secret that we kind of keep to ourselves inside the office, and we have the amazing office staff. These office ladies go above and beyond their job. They answer telephone calls for Celebrate Recovery that is not their job. Carissa has made videos for Celebrate Recovery that's not her job. Everything that they do to support these two ministry leaders really shows us that they believe in us and that they're there to support us, and they believe so much that they want to buy in on what we do. So I just wanted to acknowledge Carissa Monison. Donnie Love. Donnie, can you Donnie was here. Robin Elam. And I think Robin Swanberg is up in Glendale today, so she's not here, but Robin keeps all of us in line and together. And then Rhonda, she wears every hat in that office, but most importantly, she really is supportive. She leads the office in prayer often and is just amazing. So you guys, I came up here in disguise with a CR announcement to just give some recognition to that office staff for everything they do. So thank you guys.
Hold on. Just a quick prayer from Celebrate Recovery from anybody that's suffering from any kind of addiction, any hurts, any habits, any hangups, from criminal behavior to pornography. We are here for you, and we'd love to walk beside you through your time of need. Heavenly Father, I just pray for these places, Lord, these dark places, and our young people and our old people. Anyone that's here, Lord, I just pray, have mercy and break the chains that are holding them back from you, Lord. May you just be revealed in their life more and more each day. May the great hunger for you light up inside of them like no other. Lord, lead their way, break their chains, and free them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We are not going to lose the battle. Amen. To God be the victory. Great things He has done, is doing, and will continue to do. Do you believe it? Yes. I love when the Word says we're going to walk by faith, not by sight. We saw something tragic on our media screens. But by faith, you know how the story ends. I love it. And so hang on to that. Continue to be a light into a darkened world wherever you can. Amen. We're going to end in a final song. Let me pray, and then we're going to do a final song. Would you all stand with me as we get ready to leave here? Father, we thank you for Pastor Jason. We thank you, Father, Lord God, for the words that you put into his heart, and that you, Lord God, use him as a vessel to speak your truth. I thank you, Father, Lord God, that we are challenged to have eyes of compassion. And I know, Jesus, you said from the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do, when those mocked and made a fool of your kingdom. So let our hearts be the same way, Lord God. We will not stand for these things, Lord God, but also, Lord God, help us to love unconditionally those that so desperately need you and don't even know it, Lord God. Help us to take a light in the places that we can, that you give us permission to go. Lord, help us to have our prayers pierce the darkness in a way that has never happened before. As we cry out, as we each cry out, Lord God, I pray that you will take notice of this nation. And Lord, I'm praying for a revival from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean, Lord God, across this nation. That which the enemy meant for evil, you will turn for good. We believe it, and we're going to hang on to that, Lord God. We will not sit silently, Lord God, and we will not be overtaken by the waves that billow, Lord God, and the winds that blow. But Lord God, we are praying that you would give us a victory to raise us up to a higher place than we have ever been, so that we can all the more scream from the mountaintops, till God be the glory, great things he has done. To God be all praises and all adoration. To God, who is worthy of the praises of his people, we cry out, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Lord God, let not the voices of the martyr be silent, Lord God, but let it resound in each one of us, Lord God, and be multiplied greatly, Lord God. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.